Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Rich Dotson. He's Matt O'Hara.
Hey, how's it going?
He's Garrett Price.
You said my thing.
I sure did.
What?
You say, hey.
I'm shooketh.
I know.
I had no time to prepare for this.
I messed with you, man. Sorry.
He's still Garrett Price.
He's Jared Wackerly.
Nailed it.
Was that?
We're back with our third episode of the rookie wide receiver breakdowns. Yeah, we have four total to go. This is one of those four, so 25% of the way there. Today and tomorrow's show, I feel...
Hold on.
We have two of the six done.
Yes.
So we're a third of the way done.
Yeah. After today's show, this is one of four,
okay, which so
is
25%. After this one, we'll be...
Yeah.
We'll be a halfway
done. Half done.
Listen here, Albert Einstein, in your tough mathematics. I'm sorry I'm not here trying to break down equations on the chalkboard. I'm just here to talk rookie wide receivers.
Well, we just want to make sure you're talking correctly.
You didn't have to say numbers. You chose to.
I've already forgot the equation. I don't even know what number this is. Wasn't even paying attention.
It's three.
Well, we're back talking rookie wide receivers.
Three of six.
This is episode 3 of 6. I feel like today and tomorrow's episode are pretty good episodes. There's a lot of players here that I'm excited to talk about. Kind of makes you more like the last two episodes, like those back end receivers were a lot of doo-doo butter. True. These guys intrigue me and are on my board, and I hope to get some shares of each one of these guys, all except for two. Those two happen to be in this episode. Next week's episode, I'll take one of every of those guys.
That was supposed to be a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Idiot. Okay, stick around for another 40 minutes to find out. Can't wait to tell you who it is.
Nailed it. All right.
So how about we just dive in, because you know we all know there's a big three at receivers.
There are.
And I know, and I'm excited to see where you come out and the first guy we're going to talk about. We just did a show with Matt Harmon. If you check out our YouTube channel, the Dynasty Nerds YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. We're doing a lot of good interviews. We had Matt Harmon on, if you don't know him, of Yahoo and Reception Perception. He is the wide receiver guru behind Matt O'Hara. Yes. And I loved his
top
three as
well. If your
name is
Matt, you know receivers.
So let's kick it off. There's a lot to talk about here and unpack.
Yeah, no doubt, man. This is the guy I've watched the absolute most tape on out of anyone so far.
Ooh.
Because I just wanted to make sure
I dialed it in.
I wanted to make sure I had it right, you know. But Rome Odunze, Washington wide receiver, 6'2" and 7/8", 212 pounds, 9¼-inch hands, 32¼-inch arms, 76¾-inch wingspan. He is 21 years old. He'll be 22 in June. He ran a 4.45 in the 40 yard dash. He had a 1.52 10-yard split, a 4.03 20-yard shuttle, a 6.88 3-cone, which is whoo.
Especially at that size.
That is nice. Broad jump of 124 inches, 39-inch vertical. Last year in 15 games, he had 92 receptions, 1,640 yards receiving, 13 touchdowns, 2 rush attempts, 37 yards, and an additional rushing touchdown.
Yeah, you mentioned when you read those stats, like the numbers he put up at the combine and his size make you go, whoa.
Woo.
And so does his tape. This is a player that I've been talking about for quite a while. And I've said, I've watched so much of Dunze during the college years. Like, this guy's top tier. Like, I don't know how everybody's not screaming this guy's name. He's elite to me. And now that I finally got to actually study the player and watch his tape outside of all the casual tape and a little bit before getting ready for our interview with Matt Harmon.
Sure.
But the deep dive is I came away even more impressed than my initial impression. So, this is somebody to me that has a chance to be a wide receiver one. And let me write that out a little bit better. When I say wide receiver one, I'm not even talking wide receiver one. Like, oh, he could be a top 12 wide receiver. That's, if you can't see that, then I don't know what you're watching. He has a chance to be wide receiver one overall. Like, not every single year, but he has a chance to produce 1 year as wide receiver one overall. He is that talented. You know, there's a bit, you know, Michael Penix is a great quarterback. I love his ball placement. But when, you know, and Matt Harmon said the same thing. When he's on the field, he's the best player on the field. Rome Odunze. He wins at so many different levels on the field. A guy of his size, his route running ability, just like Marvin Harrison Jr., elite. Bell getting out of his breaks, elite. When it comes to contested catches,
nuts.
Nobody does it better. And
literally, give them the numbers.
Yeah, Pro Football Focus had it as Romo Odunze is since 2014. So over the last 10 years, nobody has done better in a contested catch situation than Romo Odunze, and it's not even close. His contested catch rate is at 75% win rate. The second best since they've been charting it is Drake London at like 66.5. I think I actually wrote
so that must mean Garrett gave him a 7.
65.4.
On his nerd score, right?
I hate you so much, you got a 9.
Yo, Rome, Rome was a sprinter in high school, so his speed shows up on tape. His ball skills, his body control, way he can get out of his breaks and show that he can get separation. He is a fantastic route runner.
Yeah, he's
or a big guy.
He is. He's kind of he's deceiving, right? I don't think he's like as cut and twitchy as a guy like Malik, right?
Correct.
He's a little smoother of a route runner, not as bursty and kind of
one's heavy metal, one's smooth jazz. They're just different.
They are different. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure people are getting a picture painted, right?
Yeah, Odunze is way closer to Marvin Harrison Jr. Yep. than like a neighbor's caliber. Like they're talking about two different. Like Odunze is a true X receiver. Go out there and win. Like yep. he's going to win on the field. It doesn't matter what's going on. You throw the ball up to him, he's going to come down with it. You know, there's a 75% chance he will come down with it. So
facts don't lie.
So neighbors are somebody you just want to get the ball in his hands. Like he's elite with the ball in his hands after the catch. Where Odunze and Marvin Harrison Jr., they're fine.
They're not bad. Yeah, they're okay at that.
But they're okay. Yeah, you know what I mean? They win. The big thing with them is they're going to come down with the ball and they're going to catch the ball. Like they're a true number one receiver. All three of these guys are going to go top 10 NFL draft. Any other year, like for most years, like these guys would be wide receiver one overall in their class. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you watch I encourage you to watch that YouTube video with Matt Harmon. Cause I said, hey, there's so much variance going on in the community where like right now the hot thing is to say Malik Nabers is wide receiver one overall for a lot of people. And I was like, Matt, you're the guru. I want to hear your take and I want you to put him in order for me because I have it where Marvin Harrison Jr. is in a tier by himself. He's a clear number one. And I was like, I personally have Odunze and Nabers like neck and neck. Like I can go either way with those guys. And then Harmon's answer was pretty spot on what I said. I encourage everybody to go watch the video and see exactly what he says. But I was very encouraged because when you hear a guy like Matt, who is literally renowned throughout the industry for his wide receiver
yep.
work, like renowned, that's what he does. You know, he's considered the best in the business. For him to be exactly online for how I feel and how I watch the tape, it's always comforting, you know, when you have people that you respect in the industry. So Rome for me is somebody that's going to come out, dominate on all facets of the field. I know Matt has a major concern with Odunze. We'll get there in a second.
No, yeah, I do. Go ahead.
It's definitely his yards after catch and what Matt's about to tell you is probably his two flaws in the game, but I'm not nearly as worried as Matt may be.
So yeah, the big thing that I saw was, I think there was times where he struggled against press coverage. He just wasn't able to separate and detach from defensive backs and kind of get into his route. I thought at times they were able to affect him even in his route running. You know, they get hands on him. He wasn't able to effectively get into his route in time to be in the play. It was almost like they had taken him out of the play effectively right at the line of scrimmage, which I mean, if you're going to be a dominant wide receiver at the NFL level, you can't have that hole in your game because you're just going to get pressed over and over again. And if you want examples of it, go and look at Oregon. They pressed the heck out of him. Even Arizona pressed him and they were bailing out into zones afterwards, but they wanted to get hands on him because they knew that was their best chance of affecting him. And listen, you're not going to be able to press a guy every single play ever. Right. Mm. So it's not going to be an every down thing, but if they want to take him out of a play, I think defensive coordinators are going to be able to until he's able to get over that hump and kind of learn how to do that, learn how to use his hands better at the line of scrimmage, which I think, yep. which I think is something that's the key for me. If he learns to fight defenders off, he'll be able to just shed and swim and do all those kind of little things to get past guys and he'll be fine. But it is a major concern for me right now.
And that was going to be the big thing that I was going to say. I don't have any concerns with his release. Like, I actually have a very good score for him with his release, with his feet. Like, yeah. His feet are excellent. Hand, like, feet, it's tough to teach feet at that point. Hands is not difficult to teach.
And it's weird because in my brain, I'm trying to go through all the scenario. I'm like, is this guy just not tough? But you see him block and he's pushing guys all around. He's moving.
The effort level on his blocking is all, like whatever team he goes to, that's like a small boost to their running back.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And that's what he needs to take that mentality to defensive backs when he's getting off the line and just shedding them or dictating to them. You know what I mean? Like with his releases, hey, I'm doing this. You know, you have to have a couple of different kind of releases, an inside release, an outside release, an outside release that go, you know, looks like an outside release, but it's actually an inside release just to keep these guys off balance. And I think he's got all the talent to do it. I just haven't seen enough of it to feel real comfortable with that part of his game. And that's the major concern. And that's the thing that's holding me back from saying this guy is going to be an elite prospect, a guy that can be the number one wide receiver. Because he's got everything else, but if he gets this, I think he can definitely be that. But without it, he's a guy that is. I don't want to call him a one trick pony because he's not. He's got lots of tricks, but he can be taken out of a game plan by certain defensive coordinators on any given week. Who's the best guy? If there's a Jalen Ramsey's on the other side just pressing all day long on a guy, mm-hmm. he could totally wipe him out of any given week.
I understand that. I think his feet are so good that I'm not overly concerned. I think he can learn a couple hand fighting techniques and overcome that pretty quickly. So I'm not overly concerned with that. And he's the type of player too that even though he profiles as an X, and I think that's where he'll play for the most part at the NFL level, I have no worries that they could move him anywhere in the offense if they wanted to and he would be effective.
Well, I mean, in Washington, they moved him around. They stacked him because I think they even knew that he struggled at times. Mm-hmm. He was off the line behind another player at times, which is not something you typically see from a guy that's 6'3", 212 pounds. Because you just don't need to. You know, if you have a good solid release and you can get off that jam, you're not going to need to be hidden off the line of scrimmage or behind a guy. Yeah. So that was another little thing that kind of, I think, made me think and maybe made me look at that a little bit with a little bit more of a under a microscope, so to speak.
I mean, you have to nitpick all these guys.
You have to.
I mean, that's what we do this whole show. Like all these, we nitpick. But even more so with these top guys when they dominate and they do everything else so well, you're like, all right, what's your war? And that's why, because my note on here for his weakness was like, yeah, he struggles off the line against press coverage more than you would like. But I'm with Garrett. Like it wasn't like as concerning to me. I'm like, oh, that's something he can work on, and he'll probably overcome that.
All that being said, I have him as my second guy, and he's above Malik Nabers by the thinnest of margins, but he's there. He's above him. And if he was able to, if I didn't see what I saw about the press coverage, he would be closer to a Marvin Harrison. So, I mean, it's he has a ton of talent, and just that one thing. You know,
what is there anything that, like, you've talked a lot about the negatives. Like, what's your favorite thing about Romo Odunze?
I mean, you nailed it. I everything else. It's his catch point, attacking the ball, all that kind of stuff.
Late hands.
He just, there's so much that he does that looks like a professional wide receiver already, between the route running and the ability to just kind of separate at the second level, all that kind of good stuff. That you guys already kind of talked about, so I don't want to nail it down too much, but. Yeah.
I'm trying to catch, and that's fine. And that's your favorite. It should be, because that's what he dominated so much. Garrett, you got anything else you want on there?
Just overall, there are not many prospects that I've seen overall that look as NFL ready as Odunze looks. And I think that's the big thing for me, is you can tell all of the time that he put into his craft. You know, and there's other guys, and we'll even get to some where, you know, you have questions on some of that kind of stuff. But he's a guy where you look at all of the things that he does and he does well. Those aren't just things that happen. Speed sometimes just happens. Being 6'3" just happens. Like, there are other things that just, you either have it or you don't. But then there's these nuanced things that you do that Romo Odunze does so well that you can just tell all of the reps and the effort.
He's almost got like a Keenan Allen.
Yes. He's been my comp.
Feel to him. Has he?
Yeah, he's been my comp. He's Keenan Allen.
He's faster for sure.
Yep.
But he's got the same similar size and all that kind of good stuff.
And just a smooth operator. Smooth. It's never like it's more sudden than it looks,
right?
Because it doesn't feel that sudden.
It's like effortless movement.
It is
compared to like herky jerky explosion in and out
Kadarius Toney kind of
right.
stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So he's I love that you said that, because that was the guy that I'd been talking about for a while. He's a faster Keenan Allen. Like, that's who he really reminds me of.
He brings all that skill set at 6'3", 212, mm-hmm. which is what. Same thing like he's like Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, he brings that skill set.
We haven't had guys that came out that have come out that are like the old school prototypical size guys like we are. So
much bigger
year,
class.
In a long time. It's been a while.
Yeah, obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. out of it, because he's in our tier by himself for all of us anyways. But like Malik Nabers and Romo Odunze would have easily crushed every receiver last year. That came out. Like,
easily.
These guys are like,
Jackson Smith and Jigba wouldn't have been crazy far off.
Yeah, but Odunze's at another level as Jackson Smith and Jigba. Definitely have come off the injury that Jackson had, right? Now playing for correct. A year. So,
but I agree.
The size that they do this is, like, this is an old school X receiver. They win, and they win all the time. And not only that, they're going to get the draft capital back it up as well. I mean, Odunze might get the worst of it and put him
like
as
at 8 or 9.
Like, if he goes to the Bears, right? Like, right. He's on there with a Keenan Allen and a DJ Moore. But these are three guys that are high level receivers. And it's just what drives me nuts about Odunze is, like, people just casually throw him to the back end of the, like, hey man, if you have the 7th pick this year, you're getting Romo Odunze. It's like, shit, dude. Like, that's
sweet. Like, sweet value right there.
What an amazing value in Superflex. And we haven't even talked about Brock Bowers yet in these tight end premium leagues. Where definitely in some leagues where we started, there's two catches mm-hmm. per tight end. We're like, we'll get there in 2 weeks, but where does Brock go? So, Jared, what do you have on top of Odunze here of elite product prospect? And I know Matt has him as wide receiver 2. Garrett, you have him as wide receiver 2?
Barely, yep.
I have him and Nabers as 2A and 2B. I still have Nabers as like 2A. But they really are more equals than separators, I guess is the best. Like, I think that's equal.
Honestly what we would all probably say. It sounds like it was by splitting hairs.
It was a fraction of a point.
Yeah. And that's literally splitting hairs.
Yep. So I have Odunze pretty firmly at 3, where I have Nabers pretty firmly at 2 ahead of him. And I guess where... I guess I have slight hesitations with Odunze, and I guess coming into tonight, it was reassuring in a way to hear Matt kind of echoing the same things that I was coming in here to like talk about. Was there are slight like separation concerns that I have with him when watching the tape. But other than that, I mean, I was talking to Garrett earlier today, like his across the board, every single category, it's like 7 or better. I think yards after catch and his game speed were the only like 2 things. I don't think he's like an overly fast player, but I mean, he's fast enough to get the job done. But
so what was your nerd score?
77.4. So that's good. And it's higher than Jackson Smith and Jigba was last year.
Who's that like equal out to from your past scores?
Treylon Burks was there, which is right around that area. Let's see. Henry Ruggs was in there.
keep going.
I'll give you mine because mine are a lot more glowing.
What was your score? Good.
You resorted it. Did you resort the
I resorted it by mine just now.
Yeah, well, like threw me off. That's
what I guard resorted by
what
yours.
Was your score? He had 77.4.
I had a 79.2.
I like yours better.
I had a 78.
Okay. Okay, so Drake London was right in there. One. So, okay. I mean, I'm not trying to say like Romo Odunze isn't a first round pick or anything. I think he's a top 20 pick. But yeah, there's just slight little separation concerns mixed with like the athleticism. And I don't know. It's just like, I think I got a little like N'Keal Harry vibes. I hate throwing that name out there.
You're just like comparing all these terms.
Yeah, you're really
I think N'Keal Harry didn't pan out for reasons that weren't, you know, on the field or what we watched on the tape. So
I feel like I'm Daenerys's brother in Game of Thrones and you're just pouring gold. Like you're Aquaman pouring gold all over my
Aquaman.
Well, I just,
which is accurate and not at all at the same time, which is awesome. For what it's worth, my all time wide receivers from 4 through 8. These are who they are. Garrett Wilson, Romo Odunze, CeeDee Lamb, Malik Nabers, Jackson Smith and Jigba. So those are just pre-draft rankings for the Nerd Score of just
that's,
specifically.
That's
my
four
rankings.
Through eight.
That's 4 through 8 all time.
What's 1, 2? What's 1 through 2, 3?
Marvin Harrison, Devontae Smith, Jamar Chase.
Nice.
So I have him neck and neck with someone in this class that we're going to talk about tomorrow. Can I say it?
Hide it. Wait.
No,
wait,
yeah, just wait.
Because okay. I also have a very high score, and yeah. I'm stressed out about it.
And I know what we're going to talk about, because I have so
But he's like a boom bust.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, cool. He is.
Yeah. Ultimate. Lowercase boom, capital.
So, like, if I were to rank, bust. If I were to rank them, if I were to rank them or draft them, like, I'd go with the safer guy, which would be Rome for me. So yeah,
Rome is safe.
Wide receiver 3.
Man, I'll say this. I feel like all three of these guys in the top of the draft are super safe. Like, I feel like they're... The world is crashing down at their wide receiver 3s. And that's like their floor.
Oh, yeah.
Barring injury.
Yeah, that would be. But yeah, unless there's a screw in a foot somewhere, then who knows what's going to happen.
You're getting studs. You're getting wide receiver 1 studs. Jamar Chase is in trouble because, you know, finishing every year as wide receiver 5, wide receiver 6. There's some new Cub Scouts joining the troops. And
five and six becomes 8 or 9 and pretty quickly.
And guess what? Garrett Wilson's got Aaron Rodgers now.
A couple of these wide receiver landing spots early, though, scare me.
That, see, but Marvin to like Arizona?
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Around but there us, are some that are us. Like...
Patriots would be a little...
Giants.
Yeah. Giants.
But even now, like, dude, like, Malik, like, it'd be great for, like, any quarterback that goes there. Well, he's not going there. They're taking a quarterback.
They should.
They're not taking a receiver. Ladd McConkey in a second. That's where they're going to go. All right. Who's next?
Moving on.
Speaking of legends, we've got all kinds of people's kids in this class. Marvin Harrison Jr.
All right. Up next. Frank
Gore Jr. in the running back.
Did.
Yeah. We got a, what's his name's brother?
What? And, oh, yeah.
Luke, son, Christian McCaffrey. Son of Edith.
Hey, Dynasty nerds, it's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, Triflex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, anyway, Brendan Rice, USC wide receiver, 6'2 and 3/8 inches, 208 pounds, 9 and 5/8 inch hands, 33-inch arms, 78-inch wingspan. He's 22 years old, just turned 22 in March. He ran a 4.5 in the 40, bested his dad.
Faster than dad?
Yeah, 1.55 in the 10-yard split, 119-inch broad jump, 13 bench press reps, 36.5-inch vertical. In 12 games last year at USC, he had 45 receptions, 791 yards, receiving 12 touchdowns, and nothing in the rushing column.
So for Rice, obviously you have the comparisons to the greatest receiver of all time.
Jerry Rice is his dad. We forgot to mention
that. Yes, right? Jerry Rice. If you haven't put two and two together, it's not Ray Rice.
No,
it's Jerry Rice is his father. And he's bigger. Yep. He's faster. He's, you know, all of these things. And so typically you would think, kind of like Marvin Harrison Jr., oh, he's bigger and faster than, stronger than his dad. Well, he's going to be great,
he's
right?
He's got to be better.
Let's pull back on that a little bit.
He's got to be better, right?
Got to be better, right?
Dude, if you're talking that good person, you're not pulling back on the reins. You're just shooting a horse in the head.
Yeah, the horse died, ran off the cliff.
You pulled so back, you broke the horse's neck. You're like, whoa, Silver. Ah, crap.
Dang it.
Yeah, the donkeys.
Look, here's the thing. Brendan Rice, what it comes down to for me is there are some things that he does well.
Yep.
I think he plays with good physicality. I think he's got a decent catch radius. His route running is actually pretty solid pretty for clean. A big guy.
Yeah, he's pretty clean.
But he struggles getting off the line, doesn't do a great job in his release. His contested catches were just okay for a guy of his size. I kind of wanted a little bit more.
I wanted a little bit more everything, I felt like.
A little bit more everything, yeah. But really what it came down to at the end all be all was even with the 4.5, he does not play with any real burst, any real speed.
Correct.
Everything's very slow. Everything's very mechanical. And I think DBs are going to not have a difficult time staying on him. And if he was in a, you know, if we had Jalen Polk's contested catch with this, I might be a little more interested because he is a good route runner.
Yeah.
But his contested catch was just fine. And so with that, I struggle to see where's that point that he's going to consistently win at the NFL level. And so for me, he didn't get a very favorable score. He got a 64.85 on the nerd score for me. So not the most complimentary. I don't think he's a terrible player, and that might be a tad harsh because I felt like he was a little better than the score indicates, but I still just struggle to see where he's going to win regularly at the NFL level.
And that's what it boils down to, right? I mean, I think he does some things well. I think he tracks a ball over your shoulder well. He can make some difficult, you know, basket catches over his shoulder, that kind of thing. But I agree. He needed to be an above the rim, like, grabbing balls off a guy's helmet or something, you know, something, sure. Something that stood out. And there just wasn't anything that stood out as exceptional. There wasn't any, like nothing that was, that I could be like, this is what he's going to, how he's going to win. This is his path. This is his one big thing. So, I mean, he can make all the easy stuff. He catches the ball, sure, away from his frame. He's a professional fifth wide receiver on a team.
I think Brendan Rice is a very solid fourth receiver on an NFL team with the possibility to work his way up the good chart. I thought some good things I saw on tape was, like, I thought he did a good job at times separating. I thought for a big guy, he made some pretty nice cuts.
And that's it. So he doesn't have like a lot of explosion, right? But he's a good enough route runner that he can still separate some.
You, yeah, tell us, like, that
he
learned with him.
He learned some there stuff there, which was able to give him. Because he's fast enough. Like, he's not a burner, but he's fast enough. I saw enough, some really good sharp cuts there to help him get off there, get some separation. I thought, obviously, he scored a lot of touchdowns with Caleb Williams there consistently. I thought that he had pretty good body control, which is weird because, like, I thought like, you're right, for a guy who's big like that, I figured he'd be better versus a contested catch, but he was really just more inconsistent than anything. Like, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't great. Bad, and I thought, like, you figured with his dad, like, he'd help him with that, like, work on some of that. But I mean, I guess that wasn't Jerry's game either. Sure. Though Jerry was a master technician. But I feel like there are times watching, like, man, maybe if he just positions his body a little bit better, he'd come out on top there. So his routes, which, again, you think he'd be around the game his whole life and having his dad, like, he'd be a better route runner than he is. Cause
he's good. I think
he's okay. I think he's okay.
And that's the thing. Like, has he tapped out his potential already in college?
You just need to, I feel like the best for him to be okay, like, become like a wide receiver, he just needs to tighten everything up. He's tighten everybody. Like you said, at this point, is that even a possibility, right? Or is Brendan Rice who Brendan Rice is? And I would probably lean that way, but this is definitely a guy I'd grab at the back end of my draft on the upside.
And I think the tricky part too is, had he not been the son of Jerry Rice and playing football with Caleb Williams, I don't know that we're even discussing it.
I totally agree with that. Fair. I think he's just
your dick.
Listen, I will say, you know, because this was the second guy I watched for this show.
Yep.
And coming off of all the guys we did the week before,
I was
like, Brendan Rice is on my board. You know what I mean? And then, like,
you can tell you're a Browns fan.
And then, like, as we kept going through, like, these next two shows, I'm like, okay, this guy's better than Brendan. oh, yeah, this guy's better. These two guys aren't. But like I came away.
He's going to be a hard one to nail down.
He's probably my third lowest guy of all the guys we're going to talk about over the next 12 guys. But at the same time, I will say with him, he's on my board still.
I think he's on my board as well. It is going to be a tough road to hoe for him to get like become any sort of fantasy relevant guy.
He's just so inconsistent.
He just doesn't do anything exceptional. And I said that, in my initial breakdown, and that's what makes it hard. Like if he was exceptional at route running, okay, maybe that's how, but he's good enough and he's fast enough and he can separate enough. For the most part, he can, he makes all the catches and sometimes he'll come down with a contested catch.
Not enough that
a quarterback is going to look for him in those situations consistently. You know what I mean? Every once in a while. And then if you're getting every once in a while those type of opportunities and you're only catching them half the time, like it's not too long until you're just on the bench.
Jared, is there anything you want to chime in about the USC wide receiver, Brendan Rice? Great analysis.
He's off my board.
He's off your board.
Yeah, he's all the way down to 63.4. I mean, yeah, his route running, I thought his hands were really good. But I mean, aside from that, I don't see how he's a dime a dozen. Like there's so many Brendan Rices that you can get. And I just don't see how he's ever going to be fantasy relevant.
Probably not.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the mini is live on Sleeper right now. The Dynasty GM, you use the analyzer, you can use the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual Sleeper app. And right now we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your Sleeper picks in real time. All you gotta do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than the predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and have a good time. You have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot. It is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out a DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate set. All right, on to the next USC wide receiver.
Oh.
Taj, is it Tajay or Taj?
Taj Washington.
Taj Washington, wide receiver, USC, 5'9¾", 174 pounds, 8 3/8 inch hands, smells like cabbage, 29 1/8 inch arms, 70 inch wingspan, 22 years old. He'll be 23 in May. He didn't run a lot of the stuff at the combine. He had 122 inch broad jump, 35 inch vertical. At his pro day, he ran a 4.22 in the 20 yard shuttle and a 6.18 in his three cone, supposedly. Last year at USC, he had in 13 games, 59 receptions, 1,062 yards, 8 touchdowns, and one rush for 10 yards.
Okay, so Taj Washington, USC.
Slot guy.
I didn't like his tape at all.
Slot guy.
He's
not. 98% slot.
Yeah, not on my board. He's got... He doesn't have a big catch radius, small frame. His had trouble getting separation, getting in off his breaks. Doesn't look fast on film whatsoever. So I don't know what his 40 time would be, but his game speed I did not love. Press coverage, obviously for his size was very easily press him and kind of just throw his whole game off there. I thought his burst was below subpar. I thought his explosion was subpar. Again, his overall game speed was so lackluster. And I mean,
that bad, huh? I didn't think it was that.
4.58 in his pro day.
Okay. Yeah, but, that makes sense.
And that's fair to see him there, but like, it just, again, the game speed for me and the burst just weren't there. And I saw it in a lot of separation. I mean,
Than fast, right? I mean, he's obviously not going to be a speed demon, but I think he's quicker than he is fast.
Which I think he played return kicks and stuff too, which is kind of crazy. I thought he went by I thought he changed up the speed pretty good, running his routes at the time, showing a little variance there. I thought he did okay in contested catches, but like, he's always in contested catch situation because he can't get separation. So for me, like, if he's not winning there, like, he's not going to win that level. I don't see any path for him as a fantasy success. I don't know how he makes an NFL roster, to be honest with you. Like, if he does, he's the wide receiver 5 on a team. Like, he gets drafted and he hangs on by that. But I wouldn't be surprised if he gets moved to the taxi squad. Like, he's like a 6th, 7th round pick. And maybe gets signed to the taxi squad. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't even get drafted. He probably will, but I mean, he's
your typical low A-dot guy. He's going to operate.
I don't like him.
Right by the line of scrimmage. He doesn't get downfield and separate at all. So it comes down to the ball in his hands. Can he do anything? And any situation that a guy's 5'9", 174 pounds, and he's a low A-dot guy, he's going to need volume to be fantasy relevant at all.
And ain't coming.
Right. And so, you know, whether or not he makes a team or not, I mean, obviously he's completely irrelevant if he doesn't make a team or get drafted. Like, if he doesn't get drafted, he's basically irrelevant because it's going to be so hard for him to get on a team, climb a depth chart, get into a situation where he can get that volume that he needs in order to be fantasy relevant. So really, I mean, you called Brendan Rice a dime a dozen. He is a dime a dozen type of slot guy. If he gets on a team and they use any sort of draft capital on him, then who knows? You know, maybe he can work his way up a depth chart. But I'm with you. I don't think he does anything crazy special that he's going to garnish.
Throw it next to my burger.
Throw a little
salt and pepper on there.
What do you guys think about orange garnishes?
I like oranges. So yeah. I don't mind them.
All right. Do you eat them when they?
Yeah, every time.
Yeah. Everyone looks at me like I'm so weird when I do it. I'm like,
really? Do you put it in your mouth and do the smiley face every time?
I mean, I have. Like, I'm not consistent.
I usually give it to my kids. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. No, I usually
give my kids, like, hey, can you eat the orange?
Cut out one.
I like oranges. So do I. Yeah, I like Tez Walker's tape significantly more than his, and that says a lot.
That does say a lot.
I know it's Garrett's favorite player.
Jeez, wow.
Favorite player, Tez Walker.
Are we all
I don't have a lot to add to Washington, unfortunately. I wanted to like one of these guys.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, you know, it's USC. They produce good wide receivers, and we've heard that Caleb Williams had a decent supporting cast, which clearly he didn't.
It's clear why Caleb Williams won the Heisman when Jordan Addison was there and not when these guys were there.
Yeah.
Their best receiver is a true freshman.
Yeah.
That dude.
Yeah, I heard that dude's
he's explosive.
He got hurt.
I saw a couple flashes of him. He looked really, what's his name?
Zachariah Branch.
Branch. Yeah,
that dude's fun to watch.
He looked good.
He's the one that did a lot of the kick returns and punt returns and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't want to keep belaboring the point. He's not that great.
Yeah. It always stinks so when you get prospects that they're trying to chase their dreams and you guys sit here and do on them. But hey, it's part of our analysis.
We got to tell you who's
the worst. If you're trying to make it in the NFL and you're listening to our podcast, Breaking Down Dynasty Fantasy Football, and you're worried about what we're saying, then you probably ain't going to make it anyway.
True.
Probably not.
That's fair.
All right, next up, Johnny Wilson, Florida State wide receiver. He is a tree of a man. 6'6" and 3/8 inches, 231 yards, or 231 pounds, 10-inch hands, 35 3/8-inch arms, 84.5-inch wingspan. 84.5-inch wingspan.
That's a tree.
That is, he's a tree.
So big.
23 years old. He just turned 23. 4.52 in the 40, 1.55 in the 10-yard split, 4.11 in the 20-yard shuttle, 128-inch broad jump, 37-inch vertical, which means he can dunk on a 12-foot hoop. I mean, this guy is giant.
Great numbers for guy of his size.
He really is. Yeah. Those are fantastic numbers for a tight end. In 10 games last year,
100
in 10.
Me and Jared were texting about, like, this guy's a tight end. Yeah. In 10 Jared's like, I like Johnny Wilson. I'm like, yeah, I like him. Like, there's no way he wins as a wide receiver. Jared's like, a tight end. I'm like, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. In 10 games last year, 41 receptions, 617 yards, only two touchdowns, which is surprising for somebody that big. But and nothing in the rushing category. We said it, and I don't think we need to crush this. I mean, the dude's just, he's too stiff. He's too big to function as a wide receiver in the NFL.
He is. He was, his tape was really inconsistent too, which was really frustrating for me. I called Jared and I was like, I have no idea how to score this guy, because as soon as I feel like I have a firm number on one of his categories, I watch a couple more plays and it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
there's times he got loose.
There are times where, like, his route running was okay.
He sunk his, there's like times like, ooh, look, he sunk his hips really well there.
And then there's other times where it's like turning a Mack truck. Mm-hmm. Then there's times where he makes some really good catches and then he drops like three passes in a row. There are times where you see him play fairly physical and then he gets pushed around.
I saw him get owned by, like, a couple defensive backs.
Yeah, especially in the LSU game. Uh-huh. He would just get thrown.
Like a rag doll.
Yeah.
So, and then they were like, pushing him while he was on the ground, like just owning him.
Stay down, B.
Just totally owning him.
He got blindsided on that play. I saw.
There were like three or four of them. It wasn't just one.
I thought he was a pretty physical player.
No,
for sometimes at the wide receiver position.
Sometimes
at like the catch point, he was decently physical. But so that was the hardest part about him. Now he got a great catch radius grade from me
by default. Yeah, you got a 9 for that.
Yeah, I gave him a 9.5 just because kind of have to at that point.
I gave him a 9, yep.
Yeah, well, and I saw one where he like dove low and caught it. And sure. I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
I saw that as well.
But overall, his score was actually the second lowest score out of all the scores for me. And it's because I do. He feels like a guy that needs to change positions.
66.9.
He looks like, but plays the opposite role of Devin Funchess, where Devin Funchess played tight end at Michigan and kind of switched to receiver at the end. Like, he played receiver that needs to switch to tight end, because, like, their tape's pretty similar.
I know, I agree.
Like, tight-hipped, big.
He's a Devin Funchess type.
Heavy feet.
I hope he makes the switch. I hope he's announced as a tight end by whoever drafts him, because they do get the chance to kind of announce
where they're,
how they see him and what position they see him as, because then I'll be excited. Otherwise, I probably won't even bother.
He kind of reminded me of, like, in high school, that team that really needed a wide receiver, so they get the guy in the basketball team to, like, try out. Like, that's kind of what it felt like, because everything just felt unnatural at times, as
almost gangly.
Yeah,
because he's so tall. Baby draft, because he's so tall. He's 6'6", and he's not 250 pounds. He's 230 pounds. On 6'6", that's
very lean.
You're really not that big. You kind of look lanky out there.
I thought he showed good hands. I thought
at times.
Yeah, I thought he had the ability to get his hands up late at times. Like I said, I saw flashes of him. It'll sink his hips and turn. And actually move some defensive backs. And I was like, man, put this guy in a linebacker. Like I said, put him on an inline, make him a tight end. Like, he has a chance to win there.
Yeah.
He needs to add like 25 or 30 pounds, though.
So I definitely would take a shot at him as a tight end if he was drafted as a tight end somewhere in like the fifth or so round.
I'll tell you what, regardless if he's going to stick in the NFL, that's likely where he's going. Yeah. Like, even if he fights it a little bit. And, you know, because Darren Waller was a big wide receiver for a couple of years before he finally switched and
Brace being a tight end.
Yeah, and Brace being the tight end. So this is one of those guys that I think either way it's going to have to happen if he's going to stick. So maybe he's worth it in the fifth round. You know what I mean? You're in that last round of your draft. Go ahead and get this project. It's going to take a few years to develop and come to fruition. But
taxi squad guy.
Yeah, if he hits, it could be huge.
And literally, just historically, guys that are that tall don't find success in the NFL, which is like, you know, you can. I know it's crazy to say, but in the NFL, because you think, oh, like LeBron James. No, like, some guys are just too big.
They're just too big
in the game to win.
Yeah.
How fast these other guys are.
Too much for guys to get hands on. Just too much. You know, the leverage isn't there because you can't get low at all if you're 6'6".
So I didn't hate him. But I said, I like him as a tight end. I don't like him as a receiver whatsoever. And even a tight end, he's a project. But like, I feel more comfortable with him as a tight end to grow into that role, to be at least tight end 14.
Yeah, no doubt.
So he's a back end guy, stash guy. When you're chasing those running backs, quarterbacks, and maybe high end upsides, like that's where he's worth a stash on your roster.
For me, I don't even know that I would, because I don't think he's, you know, most taxi squads are 2 years. I don't think he's going to get it figured out in 2 years.
Oh yeah,
you're going to end up cutting him anyway. So I'll just wait for the 3 or 4 years and hear the rumblings in camp of like, oh, he finally converted and he's looking good. That's when I'll scoop him up.
I'm sure when it's all said and done, after NFL draft plays out, I won't have any shares. They'll probably be off my board because there's only so. I mean, you got to imagine.
There's only so many dart throws.
In a 5-round draft, you have a spot for 60 guys. So if Johnny Wilson makes my top 60, it's at the very back end.
This is a particularly deep draft at wide receiver as well.
Yeah, and it's going to be guy. And honestly, like, but same thing. Like, if I had to take a chance on Johnny Wilson or Taj Washington, like, I'm taking Johnny Wilson. So, like, and if we go off of last week's, like, Florey and a lot, like, Whittington, like, those guys, like, I'm taking Johnny Wilson. So by default, he might end up in the back end of my draft. That's what I'm saying. He's not off my board. Do I think there's high hope there? No, but guy in the 5th round has high hope, but at least he's not my boy.
You have some hope to hang your hat on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Some things to hang your hat on, at least.
A couple plays where he sank his hips, and I was like,
he does flash. Yeah. He does flash. There are plays and moments where I'm like, wow, that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, who knows when these guys get into these NFL systems and, you know, it's their job day in, day out to improve as a football player. I mean, he's got some tools for sure that people don't have. So I'd probably take a shot on him late in a rookie draft. We'll see how the NFL draft plays out though first.
That's where I'm at today.
Yep.
We'll see. We still got 6 more shows to do.
Yep. And tight ends to get into. Maybe there's a tight end that's already a tight end that we like more.
So I said 6 shows. I mean, dude, I'm reading a lot more on these tight ends, and they all seem like I'm excited now to dive into class. You know, there's a lot of guys I'm reading about, like, oh, I can't wait to watch this tape. There's at least 4 or 5 guys that I'm
so excited about. You are so far ahead of me.
This is just reading, not watching.
That's a guy more receiver.
No tape. The only tape I've watched is Cade Stover, because I watched all his career, and like I've said forever, like, I think Coach Cade Stover is a pretty solid.
You've probably seen tight end. Bowers by default at this point.
Oh, yeah, a ton of Bowers. Yeah. Dude, you put the ball in that guy's hands, and it's over.
Watching Adonai Mitchell's tape. I mean, not Adonai, but Ladd McConkey, and it's just like Bowers.
You're watching Adonai's from 2022.
Yeah, that's the transfer. Yeah.
All right, so next up, Malik Washington. Wide receiver, Virginia, 5'8.5", 191 pounds, 9.25-inch hands, 30 3/8-inch arms, 72 3/8-inch wingspan. He's 23 years old. He ran a 4.47 in the 40 at a 1.53 10-yard split, 126-inch broad jump, 19 bench press reps, 42.5-inch vertical. Woo! You need every inch of that when you're 5'8.5".
Yeah.
Last year in 12 games, he had 110 receptions, 1,426 yards receiving, 9 touchdowns, 3 rush attempts for 7 yards.
Yeah, just turned 23, January 4th. Yes. So he, even though he's 23.
Newly minted.
Yeah, so I actually liked Malik Washington's
tape. I was surprised, yeah.
Yeah, I came away pretty impressed. I mean, this guy obviously had some big games, you know, consistently go over 100 yards out there. And I thought he had really good hands. Some body catches.
I think he had really good hands too.
He still came down the ball a lot, but I was like, for a guy who has really good hands, I just want to mention, like, I did see some body catches.
I have the exact same note. I said he's got pretty good hands. There are definitely times when he lets the ball into his body.
Yeah. So I was like, okay.
But I mean, I want to put that as a caveat. If you're able to catch with your hands, that's fantastic. Sometimes a ball is placed in an area where you have no choice.
I'm glad you said that because
it gets into your body and that's just where you have to catch it.
It didn't feel unnecessarily right. So when he did it.
And so I wanted to say that and make that a kind of caveat. And I do feel like there were times where that happened with him.
Runs a nasty out and up.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. He
over and over. Yeah, once so good every time.
They kill him once a game, dude.
This is, I mean, in the right system, this guy could be a PPR factor, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he has that kind of skill set. I mean, you're talking about somebody who dominated the East-West Shrine Bowl. I thought he did a really good job tracking the ball. For a guy of his stature, I thought he did a really good job in contested catches.
Yeah, no doubt. And this is the same type of thing we were talking about with Taj Washington, but I think he's got a lot more suddenness to his routes. And he's 92% lined up in the slot. So this is another slot guy. He's small. He's quick. He bursts in and out. He's going to need volume, and he got it. I mean, 110 catches last year.
Yeah.
That's the kind of volume that you are, sorry, 110 receptions. That's the kind of volume that you need.
School records, by the way.
Yeah.
At Virginia. He set yards and receptions.
For a guy like this to be a fantasy football factor, those are the kind of numbers you need.
Yeah. Led all college football in receptions with 110. So, like, there is, like, he could be a PPR factor. I mean, this is somebody at the NFL level, even just like at a college level, you want to put the ball in his hands. Because when you do, he makes plays. So, like, when he gets in there, kind of like that running back style, there's a couple running backs we're going to talk about, like a receiver's, like kind of in his category. Like,
yeah.
But Malik Washington's one of those guys that fits that mold. You know, you put him in the ball, in his hands, he's going to go out there, he's going to make something happen. So really good contact balance. You would see consistently the first guy that got a hand on him really rarely brought him down.
He's stocky, 191 pounds, man, for 5'8".
For 5'8" and a half.
Yeah. So, and now you will say, though, like Matt mentioned, he came on the slot a lot. So a lot of his production came off from the slot, which is, if you don't know, like when you come on the slot, you have a much easier release, a much higher chance to catch the football. You're not getting pressed. So for him, a lot of that production came, like obviously he led in college football in reception. So that's kind of a negative on him. His routes were just okay. Like I didn't love him, but he could do it.
Yeah, his routes are okay, but it's the way he moves, I think, is gives me hope for the future. How about that? He needs to improve it, but I think he's got the kind of movement and explosion that will lend himself to being a good route runner.
So I'm glad we're talking about this because this is something that I did want to highlight with him. What I saw when I was watching him, it was one of two things, because in the open field, I saw a lot of crisp movement.
Yeah.
But I didn't see as much crisp movement in the routes. They felt a little slow at the stem point, where I didn't think that he always had that same type of suddenness, quick twitch. It almost was like he was overthinking it at times or something. I don't know what it was, but it didn't feel the same as the open field movement when he had the football. And that's kind of the one area that I want to maybe disagree slightly on is I can see what you're saying about the potential there for the routes, but overall I thought his route running was very mediocre. I thought he left a lot to be desired there still.
I think he felt comfortable with a couple routes, like really comfortable, and that was like where they basically used them, and everything else outside that was probably out of his realm of comfort is a better way to say it. For me, at least in my, like if I'm just theorizing here, like I don't know how he thinks, but like that's what it probably seemed. I mean, he was so schemed, like he knew what he had to do, and anything outside that, like you said, maybe it was just over processing for him about what he's going to do. Because you're right, when he gets the ball in his hands, it's like a different player. So
there's,
for me,
there's not much thought required in that.
It's more instinct.
Yep. Yeah. Based once you have the ball in your hands.
He ended up getting a pretty solid score for me, a 73.15.
Nice.
So got a really good score for me. Obviously, couldn't really do much with release because we didn't get to see it. And Jared literally asked me about these. Like, what do you put for guys when we just don't know the release?
Yeah.
It's almost a standard five.
Okay.
Below average, six is average. So they get a standard five for me because I don't want to knock them too far, but I don't want to give them any undue credit. So it's almost a standard five for me. If I don't see enough, they're going to get a five for me on release.
And you don't know because you don't know how, like, he doesn't get pressed very often. So, like, how would he, like, because his size.
No clue.
His size would say that he would struggle there, but he's so physical, too. Definitely had to
catch
point.
He's physical and he's quick. Like, so
he might do well.
He might be fine.
He might do fine.
Yeah, exactly.
So it just kind of goes to a standard five for me on that if I don't know or if they're always in the slot, never getting pressed. I really liked him after the catch quite a bit. I gave him much higher marks for quickness than I did speed. Because I think his straight line speed was just okay. There were times that you saw him get tracked down.
I gave burst more. I think I'm quantifying it differently. We're seeing the same thing, but
yeah.
Both of his burst and quickness were higher than his speed. Same thing, because he gets tracked down from behind.
Yep, but he does good in the open field. He does make guys miss. He is twitchy. So I was very pleasantly surprised. And so far, this puts him as my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's my eighth guy in the class at the moment. Now, we still have two classes to do, and I don't have any of those guys in there.
Yeah.
So he has a chance to be right around the top 10. He'll probably bump just outside of it based on some of the guys I know from next week. But a solid player that I think is intriguing.
There's some guys coming in I know will bump him, but he's right now in my fourth tier.
Okay.
So like he's there. Like I definitely came away after this. I was like, God, of all these guys I'm watching, like I'm pleasantly surprised that I have him in there. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. He's in my fourth tier. So I have him with a guy we're going to talk about here shortly, but I have him currently right after a guy that you guys all love. So he's definitely...
You have those two guys together?
No, different tier.
Oh.
He's in a tier behind him, but he's currently behind...
I was like, wait a second.
He's currently right behind him, but there's a lot more to go, right? Yeah. So guys, for me. Yeah, so Malik Washington out of Virginia, what do you think, Jared?
I'm at 72.6, so I'm like right around where you guys are at. I thought his hands are really solid, really good, actually, not just solid. I thought he was pretty good in contested catch situations, and then when he does get the ball in his hands, he has some of the movement skills that I look for. So I think he could fulfill like a slot role for a team if he does get that opportunity. So he's definitely on my board for sure.
Yeah, he'd be a really like a team that could really use, like a Jets could utilize somebody like Malik Washington would be a good spot for him. I'm really definitely excited to see where he goes because he's definitely going to be able to do something that has to be in the right system, the right scheme, but real attractive because if he is, he's fantasy ball relevant. Like this is a guy who could be a wide receiver three, high-end wide receiver three in the right system, maybe even low-end wide receiver two if he's schemed correctly because he is a playmaker. That's the best way to kind of describe Malik Washington is he's a playmaker. And
for all the tape of these... For all of these, other than obviously Malik Nabers, but for all of these guys that we expect to potentially be slot guys, so far he is the highest rated,
just like, strictly
true slot guy.
Yeah. Best guy I saw.
Yeah.
So, all right.
All right. Next up, Bud Means. Bud.
I think it's Bub, right?
Oh, is
Bub.
It? Oh, yeah. It is Bub.
Bub.
Yeah, Bub.
I just can't read.
That's
it's
all right.
It's Bub. Bub Means.
That D's backwards.
My reading. Thanks. My reading is subpar at best.
I'll give you a 5.5.
But Pittsburgh wide receiver, 6'1", 200. I don't even earn 5. 6'1", 212 pounds, 10 1/8 inch hands, 33 1/4 inch arms, 79 3/8 inch wingspan. So, wow. 23 years old, just turned 23 in January, 4.43 in the 40-yard dash, 1.55 in the 10-yard split, 122-inch broad jump, 19-inch bench or 19 bench press reps, 39 1/2-inch vertical. Last year in 12 games, 41 receptions, 721 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Nothing in the rushing column.
I remember watching him, and I saw one play.
Me too.
I was like, man, maybe I might like him. And then I watched all the other plays, and I was like, dang it.
No.
That stinks. look, with Bub Means.
He's like Brendan Rice light.
Kind of. I think he had decent hands. Nothing special, though. Kind of subpar in most areas. I'm trying to find. I think there was decent burst in speed. I think so there's some decent.
He's an athlete. He's for sure an athlete.
He reminds me of Van Jefferson, but not Van Jefferson coming out, but just like Van Jefferson in the NFL. Just like there he is. He's Van Jefferson. He's on the field.
Really good route runner.
He'll catch a pass here and there every now and again, and that he's there. He's on the roster.
Dude, capital letters, not loose whatsoever. This guy. This is a guy.
This is a guy
who is a 6'1" built athlete.
Like, say he looks the part.
Yeah, big, strong, fast, explosive. But he's not a
Translated.
He's not a wide receiver. Like he should have picked a different position to try and play because he's an athlete. But he, I mean,
defensive dude, back, maybe safety.
Him, yes. Him, dude. Just Google Bub Means trying to catch balls over his shoulder.
I don't know that you're going to get a lot on Google for that, but
get something really weird.
I saw a couple of those, and I'm like, dude, come on, Bub.
You might. Please don't Google that. Hashtag don't Google that.
Bub Means balls over his shoulder.
Please don't.
There's some meatballs. Come on, Bub. Oh, no, it's a Roman soldier. Oh, Bob. Don't put that in your Christmas card. So, not off my board. Don't
put that in your Google search, man.
No, do it. Tell me what comes up.
He's not off your board or he is?
No, he's off my board. He doesn't get drafted.
Fourth low score for me, 63.78.
I would be very surprised if he was drafted.
Yeah, it's just he's big and fast.
He doesn't offer much. I tried to put it in NFL terms, but with the Van Jefferson, just he looks good. It seems like it should work, and it just doesn't. It just work. Didn't. It just doesn't work.
I'm trying to think of what I liked about him. I don't really have. It's all just about his.
He doesn't offer much after
genetics.
The catch.
He's got a fun name.
I like his genetics. Yeah,
that
I like his
name that I butchered.
That you didn't even get right. Because if I could have a bub, like I'd root for a bub.
Yeah,
but I don't think I'm gonna get to.
And look. I liked him so much I didn't even take time to learn his name. Like, I don't know, man.
I feel so bad. I always feel bad being mean. But it's what we got to do.
Hey, is what it is. Bub means if you draft him, I'm glad you're related. We'll be back next week talking, or no, we'll be back tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Talking a bunch of better wide receivers.
I would argue it might be our best top to bottom crop that we have.
So far, yes. Top to bottom, yes.
Top to bottom.
So I can't wait to get into it. We'll be back tomorrow.
Adios.